Welcome to Nursing Notes Live, compelling interviews with today's nurses who are changing healthcare. Brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing. Nursing Notes Live, presented by Johnson & Johnson, is the podcast extension of the national award-winning monthly e-digest, Nursing Notes, which shines a spotlight on nurses as innovators and critical change makers in the delivery of positive patient outcomes within today's healthcare landscape. You can subscribe to receive Nursing Notes updates at the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing website, discovernursing.com. Every month, Nursing Notes content is accompanied by two episodes of this podcast, which provides greater insights and nurse perspectives into topics discussed in the e-digest. You can listen to previous episodes of Nursing Notes Live on the podcast player at discovernursing.com, and don't forget to subscribe to the entire series on iTunes. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. In this episode of Nursing Notes Live, I talk with Dr. Norma Cuellar, professor of nursing at the University of Alabama and president-elect of the National Association of Hispanic Nurses. Norma is the director of the Bama Latino Project, which plans to target and recruit 80 Latino associate degree registered nurses and prepare them for a Bachelor of Science in Nursing. Join us as I chat with Norma and find out what all nurses can do to support diversity in nursing. Hi, Norma. Welcome to Nursing Notes. It's great to have you on the show this week. I usually like to start off and ask you to tell us a little bit about your background and maybe a little bit about what brought you to the nursing career.
Well, hi, Jamie. It's nice to be on the podcast, and thank you for inviting me. So what brought me into nursing? Oh, that's a question from a long time ago. I was in a variety of disciplines before I settled on nursing. Let's just say that. I was one of those students that changed from major to major. And finally, I picked nursing for a variety of reasons. But once I got into nursing, I knew that I was the right place for me. I loved it. I was involved even in my college. I was involved at the state level in leadership. I love nursing because there's no reason why anybody should get bored with nursing. There's no reason why anybody should say, oh, I just can't stand nursing, you know, because there's so many options and there's so much variability within nursing. And I always use education as if you're bored or tired with something, you can change that. You go back to school, you get your master's in something, or you get your PhD, or there's so many options that you can do in nursing. When I hear people that say they hate nursing or they hate their career, it really makes me sad because I just don't think they understand all the possibilities that you can be when you are a nurse. You can be a researcher. You can be an educator. You can be a clinician. You can be an entrepreneur. You can be a writer. There are so many options that you can do in nursing as a profession. So that's how I got into nursing and why I've stayed in nursing for 35 years now, I guess. I've been in nursing, and I've been in a lot of roles, and I've worked in a variety of settings. I've worked in ICU. I've worked in home health. I've done incarceration nursing. I've done long-term care nursing. I've done a little bit of school health nursing. But my major role has always been in education and teaching. And right now I'm at the University of Alabama at the Capstone College of Nursing. I'm a full professor. I teach in the DNP program and the master's program. I do research and evidence-based practice. I love what I do. I love what I do. A part of that is the research piece and writing grants, and we'll talk about that, I think, in a little bit.
We definitely will, and we'll jump into that right now because we're really going to be focusing on your work in developing nursing workforce diversity, and in particular, the project you put together with called the Bama Latino Project, which I think it is really looking at recruiting Latino nurses to advance their degrees from associate's degree nursing to their bachelor's programs. What What kind of drew you into focusing on diversity is something that you really wanted to kind of narrow down your research on?
Well, I've been involved with diversity for probably 10, 15 years in my career. My dissertation was focused on diversity, looking on differences in African Americans and Caucasian caregivers in rural settings, and looked at how they cared for their families and the differences that they had in social support and knowledge and stress and a variety of things. And there are different cultural values that we carry with when we are healthcare providers, or whether we're patients, or in any realm of healthcare. And it's important that we realize these things, because that impacts our nursing interventions and how we care for these patients. If we neglect any of the cultural implications, we put barriers up in our healthcare. The other thing is, if we don't understand these cultural differences and we initiate an intervention that is not appropriate for that culture, we're just doing it for naught. It's just going to go on deaf ears. So it's so important to understand cultural differences. So part of that is that I am Latina, and I am the president-elect of the National Association of Hispanic Nurses. And so I have worked very closely with them related to diversity as well. With the increasing numbers of Latinos in our country, we do not have that same increase in numbers of Latino nurses. So when I was just talking about how important it is to be congruent, you could use the term congruent, that we need congruency in our healthcare providers. So if we have 20% of our population, well, it's 18 to 20% of our population is Latinos, but we don't have that number, 18 to 20% of RNs that are Latinos, it's not an equal balance. Right now, of the RNs in the workforce, there's only 4%, 3 to 4%. The numbers vary different when you look at different statistics. But it's 3 to 4% of the registered nurses in our country are Latino. And that's not very many, caring for 20% of the population in the United States that are Latino. So that is a big problem. And why is that a problem? Because we're talking about language barriers. We're talking about the cultural barriers. We're talking about precision medicine and things that are accurately diagnosed for certain cultures. We've come a long way. We know how important precision medicine is. And having people that look like themselves. So we need to increase that nursing workforce diversity, specifically related to Latinos.
It is important, and it's interesting because I talked with another Latino nurse in another podcast, I think sometime last year, and she was talking about how even among the Latino community, there is a huge difference in across cultures from different countries of Latino origin. And I hadn't really thought about that, but it made perfect sense when she mentioned it to me, because it's not a homogeneous group even inside itself.
Yes, and we've learned that with many ethnicities and races. When you look at African Americans or Blacks, you have people from all different countries, and so those are all subcultures. In Australia, you have the indigenous populations. There's over 1,000 subcultures. In the Latino culture, you have very different cultures. What happens in Chile may not happen in Mexico or Peru or Nicaragua or any of these countries. They all have different foods. They have different values. They have different beliefs. Now, what is in common is the Spanish language, but even the Spanish language has different dialects. So when you're talking to someone in Mexico, it may be different words or different phrases when you talk to someone in different countries. So yes, you cannot assume that because you're Latino, you're all homogeneous. That's an excellent word. So that's perfect. And what you have to do is speaking Spanish, you can communicate pretty well with these other groups. But it's just like being in speaking English. When you go to Australia, they have an accent. When you go to England, they have an accent. When you come down to the South, we have an accent. When you come up Northeast or in Boston, everybody has a different accent and a different words they use or terms they use. And so those are all subcultures as well. So Latinos are no different. There are a variety of subcultures all over, not only our country, but in the globe and the world.
So as an educator, what are some of the things that you would recommend to other educators that they do to try to encourage a more diverse applicant pool for their nursing programs?
Well, it's not necessarily something that you can change in a short-term fix. So when we have Latino nurses that come in and they apply to baccalaureate programs, these programs are very competitive. And so many of our students at our school, I mean, I know it's probably comparable to other schools as well, the GPAs that these students come in with and if we're to start the nursing program is 3.9, 3.8. We have about 200 to 250 applicants for 100 positions. And so if you're not up there with a GPA, you don't get in. ACT scores above 28. So it's very competitive to get in. These students that are go into nursing usually have a strong science background. In high school, they went to good schools that provided AP courses, and they provided competitiveness. Some of them could have taken courses during their high school because they are in progressive schools that are in areas where predominantly white, because most of our students that get in are predominantly white. Turn that around to a social determinant factor. And when you talk about Latinos and our African Americans or other minority groups, they are often in rural areas where schools aren't as good. They may be in areas where sciences aren't encouraged. Guidance counselors may not often tell Latinos, they do not encourage Latinos to take science-based courses, and they tell them to take the technical courses or whatever. Family may not consider college as important, and they don't encourage studies. If they're in a migratory family, they've never really had consistent education. So all these factors related to Latinos, that's just a few of them, set the Latino student up for not failure, but to really have challenges when they go to a university. So they aren't the ones that make the 3.9 GPAs or the 3.8 GPAs. They're not the ones that have ACT scores that are, you know, really high. They just haven't been given the opportunity that other students have had that are in a socioeconomic status that is higher than what most Latinos have. So they come in at a disadvantage. Many of them do not get in. I mean, that's why they're not, that's why we don't have very many baccalaureate prepared, but they go into the ADN route, the associate degree. And when they graduate from an associate degree, they can get into the associate degree program. Some of them can, some of them still struggle, and they don't do well. But once they get into the associate degree programs, once they graduate, they become breadwinners for the family. And many of the families will say, you don't need to go back to school. We just need the money. You need to work. We need to support the family. And so they get stuck in that associate degree level, and they don't get their baccalaureate degree, and they don't see the role models. They don't see other Latinos who have progressed. They don't see Latino nurse practitioners. They don't see Latino educators. They don't see those people that are in higher roles. So they never can imagine that a Latino can be in those higher levels or those higher roles. So we have a real problem with role modeling and mentoring just because there's not enough of us. There's just not enough of us. So especially at the PhD level. So there's a variety of factors, and we work on those things. We try to educate the high schools and the junior highs. It has to start at an early age. We actually had have a grant that looks at working with families and encouraging families to encourage their children, both male and female, to go into nursing, working with guidance counselors to encourage Latinos to take science-based courses, or, you know, taking the chemistries and all the advanced science courses rather than, you know, sending them on the technical route. But it just takes a long time to change. And in the last 20 years, there's really not been an increase in the number of Latinos that have gone into nursing. It has been very sustained. It's been a constant number, right at 7% of the students that go into nursing are Latino. And it's been consistent like that for like 20 years now.
It's interesting to hear you talk about it, because it sounds to me like this is a perfect opportunity for, you know, the nurses who aren't necessarily educators, but are in their communities every single day and maybe could keep their eyes open and become that champion for nursing and try to keep their eyes open for good candidates to recommend nursing as a career to them. I think of the nurses that are in school settings that could, you know, interact with those students and say, hey, you'd be a fantastic nurse. You should look into
Absolutely.
That. Yeah.
Absolutely. So our Bama L, Bama stands for Alabama, L stands for Latino. So we have a HRSA grant, and it's called the Bama L, and we are looking at increasing the nursing workforce diversity for Latinos, for Latino nurses specifically. So what we're doing is we're looking for Latino ADN associate degree nurses that are interested in getting their bachelor's degree. The grant was given to the University of Alabama Capstone College of Nursing, and we are partnering with the National Association of Hispanic Nurses. And I'm involved with both of those groups. I am the president-elect of the National Association of Hispanic Nurses, and then I wrote the grant from out of the University of Alabama. So the grant is RN to BSN program. It is totally online, so anybody can attend from all over the country. It doesn't matter where you live, because everything's online. We're looking for the Latino ADN who wants to go back to school and get their bachelor's degree. We actually pay for 12 hours of prerequisites, because many of the students still need prerequisites to complete their liberal arts background. And then we have 3 semesters of the nursing program, and we pay for that as well. We also give a $250 stipend per semester, and we provide mentorship, both academic and professional. We have tutoring if needed. But one thing that we are doing with these students is it's not just about education and getting your bachelor's degree, but it's about being engaged in the profession and being leaders and continuing your education. We don't want them just to get their bachelor's degree. We want to plant that seed and encourage them to get their master's and even their doctorate. We are giving them $1,000 to attend the national conference of the National Association of Hispanic Nurses, so they can see the Latino nurses that are a part of the organization. We have about 2,000 members that are Latino in our organization. And at our conference, probably about 450 people come to the conference. And they are Latino nurses from all levels of education. So they have a chance to network with people and get support and find mentors and all the things that they need to be engaged in the profession. You know, we need Latino leaders to be on boards. We need them to be the voice of the Latino population. We need them to be involved with health policy. We need them to be involved in global health issues. So we, as decisions are being made about Latino healthcare, the Latino nurses, who are the primary caregivers pretty much of Latino patients, need to be at the table to speak on behalf of the Latino community. And we are really in a dire position, because we have people that are making decisions sometimes that have no idea what the Latino culture is, or they may be biased or prejudiced towards the Latino culture. And, you know, we need to be at the table.
Definitely. And I really am intrigued by this, because it's not just, like you said, bringing nurses to move from RN to BSN, but really focusing on creating the nurse leaders of tomorrow, which is very exciting.
Right, right. Well, and if you think about where we are, the whole issue is that We could be up to 30% of our population being Latinos in 20, 25 years. And so if you have 30% of the population that is from a specific culture and we still only have 4% Latino nurses, that's going to be even a bigger problem. And it's going to cost our country a lot of money because these patients may not be diagnosed correctly. They may not be able to understand related to health literacy. They may not be able to have the money to buy their medications or their treatment. So if we don't do this, it's going to cost our country a lot of money to care for the 30% of Latino patients population that we have.
Any final thoughts, Norma, for the nurse out there that is thinking of how they can improve their overall sensitivity and diversity of their patients and their coworkers?
Well, you know, there is a change going on right now. There's a big shift going on at colleges and universities right now, and they're making diversity and inclusivity a major goal. And if you're not aware of this, you're in a corner somewhere being blindsided. Are you going to be blindsided? But especially the issues going on in our political arena right now and the divisiveness that our leaders are using as tactics. Learning about inclusivity and diversity is not a one-time thing that you do. You don't go to a class on cultural differences and say, okay, I know everything about cultural differences. If you did that, let's say you went in the 60s or 70s and you did a class on culture and, you know, the issues were civil rights or whatever. And then now, you know, 30 or 40 years later, you say, oh, I know all about cultural diversity. I took that class 30 or 40 years ago. Well, have things changed? Yes. Do you need new education? Yes. And as fast as the topic of cultural diversity and inclusivity is changing, we have to continue our education. You know, you need to be involved and be reading or taking classes or doing staff development on a continuous basis. If someone needs to be discussing the issues that are going on in our country about culture and inclusivity and be aware of it. It's so easy. I hear people say all the time, oh, I just don't discuss it. I don't want to be a part of it. And that's not the answer either. You know, we need to learn how to talk about it in a calm manner. We need to have discourse. We need to think about it. We need to contemplate and we need to process it. And so I would say for all nurses, no matter what color you are, this is not going to go away. This diversity and inclusivity topic should be something that we bring to the forefront in every meeting in some way. You can bring it in a conference, in conferences, it cannot be ignored. The unconscious bias, you know, the things, the LGBTQ issues, it's not just about being black or white or being poor or rich. It's the aging process. You know, if you think about older Latinos in long-term care facilities, that's a scary thought, especially if they don't speak English and they are in long-term care facilities and nobody speaks Spanish. How sad that must be, you know, and we're going to get to that point that the Latinos here are going to get older. Right now, they're a very young age group, but they are going to get older and we're going to be forced with challenges related to that as well. But diversity and inclusivity, you know, I'm going back to the Latino population, but diversity and inclusivity is not just being black and white. There's a whole slew of things that we are challenged with right now in our country related to diversity. So I think that's the take-home message, that we have to respect all people for their differences and include them in the process. And even if it scares us or we think that certain people aren't good enough or whatever, you know, we really have to be humble enough to understand that we're all here for a reason. Our country was built on diversity and inclusivity, and our country has been great because of that, because of the differences and the acceptance. And it's almost like identifying what our soul really wants us to do. Where is the soul? Where is the soul of our country? And what does our country really want in relation to respecting each other and valuing each other?
Stay tuned for more episodes here at Nursing Notes Live coming soon. And check out our other episode this month where I talk to Vivian Lowe. Vivian is the manager of special projects and chair of nursing research at El Camino Hospital in Mountain View, California. In this position, she demonstrates her passion for coordinating community resources, mentoring nurses, and improving patient care and services at El Camino Hospital and throughout the community. You'll find that and other episodes of Nursing Notes Live in the podcast area on iTunes, as well as our podcast player on discovernursing.com. Nursing Notes Live is produced for the Johnson & Johnson campaign for nursing by Medicast Productions. All rights reserved.